Hello, everybody. I am the Common Sense American, and I'm coming at you for another week of hopeful entertainment. This week, we're going to talk more about the coronavirus because, frankly, nobody can talk about anything else. I keep hoping that as every week passes, we're going to get farther and farther away from this, and that, you know, we'll all be able to return to a myriad of topics to discuss. And frankly, I am getting a little fatigued about the whole thing. I think everybody is. And yet, if you look around, if you look at news sites and social media, it still dominates everything. And I think I've said everything I want to say in regards to what I think of the virus and the lockdowns and all that stuff. But I haven't really thought about what I would do in such a situation. I think we all need to do that. We do need to accept that being in a position of leadership and power not only is a position of extreme responsibility, but it is very difficult. It's very easy to play the armchair quarterback, so to speak. It's very easy to sit back and say, I wouldn't have done this. You did this wrong. You suck. I know better than you. When in point of fact, many people that are elected at least have a background in politics, political science, economics, what have you. I don't. I have a psychology degree, and I'm certainly not a leader, even less a politician, despite the very flattering people who listen to the podcast and say you should run for office. I really shouldn't. Just trust me on that. But it got me to thinking as to, you know, what I would do. And if I was in the position of governor or maybe a lesser position of mayor, something, what would happen if I heard that this coronavirus was coming, this crisis was coming, and in fact, it was already here, and, you know, we need to act now. And I said, well, what would I do? You know, we're talking about lives. Yes, we're also talking about the health of my town or city or state, both financially and psychologically, really, which is a big deal, I think, economically, obviously. And so I said, okay, well, here's what I would do. And I have a series of notes that I took down as to what I would do if I was in a position of power. And when you're done listening to this, you might say to yourself, oh, it's a good thing he didn't run. But this is what I would do. This is my view of it. The first thing that would happen, say someone walks into my office and says, okay, something bad. We've got a health problem coming. In fact, it seems like it's already here. It's in the United States. It's spreading. We don't know much about it. We don't really know how quickly it transmits. We don't know who's most affected right now. And let's face it, that was the first intel that anybody in this country received. I mean, we knew it had hit in China. We knew a little bit about it then, but we weren't really checked out on it in terms of its overall impact and what it could do to our populace. So my first question would be, okay, here's the thing. First thing we need to do is get as much intelligence and information as humanly possible and get it as quickly as possible. Now, I would like to think that just about everybody in charge said the exact same thing, which is we're not going to do anything. We are not going to pass any edicts or anything until we know more about this. We need to know, but we need to know fast. So if what you're saying is accurate, if you're saying it's true, we need to know as much about this as we possibly can. In the back of my mind, I will have a deep suspicion of the CDC and the FDA. Their track records suck. They have just been terrible. And for the past few decades, as far as I'm concerned, the FDA has been in the back pocket of the pharmaceutical companies for decades, as evidenced by the endless merry-go-round of, yeah, sure, this drug, there's nothing wrong with this. Take it, and then within the next few months here, we're suing everybody because it did this, this, and this to people. I still can't believe everybody's falling for this. I still can't believe they're falling for the take this drug, it's going to cause 14 side effects for which you're going to need 14 new drugs. And by the way, they're all going to cause 14 more problems, and we'll just keep you on an endless medical nightmare forever. And no, you're never going to feel any better. In fact, you're going to feel worse, but we're going to get your money. I still can't believe people do that. But anyway, their track records and the CDC's track record is almost as bad. So as much as I want to trust their word, as much as I want to turn to them for advice, I have that suspicion in the back of my head. And that will always be there before I make any decisions. So I will not take their word as gospel. I can tell you that. But I do want their input. I want their advice. I want everybody's. I want everybody who is in any position to know anything to tell me what's going on, and as quickly as possible. This is not a time to be taking personal days and vacations, and no, you're not leaving work early. I don't care if your freaking cat's got to go to the vet. You need to get on this. We all need to work on this very quickly, maybe around the clock, to figure out what's happening. And then we can make some informed decisions to protect our people. And that would be my first step. Now, okay, so that in place. Next few days go by, week goes by, whatever, as much time as we need to get that information, but hopefully quickly. That goes by, and we find out that it's sort of like the flu, but nastier. People who get it, especially the elderly and infirm, are very vulnerable. And if they get it, the mortality rate is significant. It's not shocking. It's not 90%. And that would lead me to maybe the number one question. When you come back to me with this information, I expect you to bring me the mortality rates of everywhere else, China, Italy, places in Europe, early mortality rates registered in the U.S. I want to know. I want to know, who's it hitting and why? And is it going after, my biggest question is it going after the healthy and able? Is it going after the people who make this country run, who get up every day and go to work? No matter how healthy you are, is this bringing you to your knees? Is this a virus that has, you know, an awful 85, 90% mortality rate, you know, like the Black Plague, the bubonic plague in the 14th century? Is it something like that? Is it something like Hanta? Is it something like something that it almost doesn't matter how good condition you are, you're going to be taken down, and only the absolute people in the absolute pinnacle condition might survive? If that's the case, we're in serious trouble, and I'm not even sure how you deal with that. You might have to. I don't know. I don't even want to think about it. But the point being, this is not that. You're showing me mortality rates basically globally of people, you know, between the ages of, well, 2 and 60 of about, you know, 2%. Okay? That's a critical number for me. And it rises drastically over the age of 65. And if you're on a ventilator, it's not good. I think it's like 13, 14% of people who end up on ventilators actually survive. So you give me these numbers. Okay, so the first thing I do is say, okay, look, this is not going after our healthy and able. That's the majority of people who we need to run things. However, it can spread to them. They might survive it, but they can bring it to the infirm. They can bring it to the elderly. They can spread it amongst that population. But I would say to myself, okay, the worst is over already. It's not going to be taking out the people that we need. It's not going to be taking out the strength of the core of our community and our city, which is the people who are in the prime of their lives. They really don't have to worry about this. There are no numbers and no evidence that says to me, okay, you we're all in trouble. That's not the case. You might get sick. It's possible, but there's almost no chance you're going to die from it. And if you do get sick, you quarantine yourself. And that would be basically what I would say is, look, when this first comes out, and this is what we know, I would make a very clear public statement. I'd say, look, if you are over the age of 65, I would suggest being very careful about where you go. I would suggest protecting yourself, perhaps with a mask or gloves. And I would say also to people who are in nursing homes, people who work in nursing homes, if you're feeling a little ill, now is not the time to be a hero. Stay home. Who knows what you may have contracted it. If you go to work, you're going to spread it amongst a lot of very vulnerable people. Same for people if you have loved ones in nursing homes and retirement homes, parents, grandparents, forego that visit for a little while until we can better understand this, until you know, things have passed a little bit. That would be my suggestion. That would be a very public statement. I said, look, it is getting people who are elderly. The mortality rate still is not the majority. The majority of people, even over the age of 65, absolutely survive this. So we don't need to completely fall down and cry and crawl into a corner, but we do need to be active. This is the time where if you're feeling ill, this is the time to stay home. You know, if you're the kind of person who soldiers through and pushes through a cold and things like that, still goes to work, we appreciate that. But at this particular time, for at least the next few weeks, let's not do that. Let's be careful about this. If you're feeling fine, fine. Go to work. We need to keep things moving for the sake of everybody, for the sake of the economy, for the sake of our sanity. Keep going. But just take some precautions. I don't believe that people need to be ordered to do something for something to take effect. I believe that if you are a decent enough leader and you send a decent enough, strong enough message, that intelligent people will take the hint and do what they're told. The reason why a lot of people don't want to do that, the reason why a lot of people are pushing back, is because you're acting like Nazi leaders. You're telling them they have to do this. You're saying that this is awful and terrible and everyone's going to die, and none of the numbers correlate to that, and people get the sense that you're fear-mongering, that you're doing nothing but spreading fear, and they're going to push back against that, maybe irrationally. Maybe saying, no, I'm never going to protect myself for any reason. I'm going to go spit on people because I can't stand the way this is going. I don't want that reaction. I think if I remain calm and I tell them the facts and I say, look, these are the numbers. We do have a problem coming. We do have an issue that could become a much bigger issue if we're not careful. So I would suggest being careful. I'm not going to order you to stay home. I'm not going to order you to wear a mask. I'm not going to order businesses to do anything. I'm going to issue suggestions and a series of guidelines that I would encourage you to follow, at least for the time being. Simply because of the rate of infection, not because of the mortality rate, which is nothing to be concerned of among people who typically go out every day, who typically go to work, who typically fuel our economy. They should not be concerned. That would be my number one thing. They should not be concerned. The only thing they should be concerned about is spreading it to people who are vulnerable. So we isolate those who are vulnerable, who are proven to be vulnerable, the elderly and maybe the disabled and people who have underlying medical issues. Unfortunately, there are many of them. I made this plain in a previous podcast. If we weren't in such terrible physical condition, this wouldn't be such an issue. But we get those people to safety. We make sure that they're sort of away from others. They don't go out as often. We encourage them not to. We encourage people not to get around them as much. And we just make it very plain that these are precautions, that these are things that we should do. I will show them all the statistics. I would share with them every ounce of information that I got across my desk. I really would. Because who knows? Maybe my interpretation is not perfect, is not ideal, and maybe I would like to know the interpretation of my citizens. I would like to know what they think when they see this information. I want all of it right in front of them. Say, look, I'd have a website or something, maybe the town or state website, and here it is. This is everything that we know. Everything that we know, and this is the information we're basing our decisions on. Do you agree with them? I think this is the way things need to go. In no way are we shutting down businesses. That's idiotic. There's nothing here that tells us that we need to do that. That would needlessly cripple our economy at a time when that absolutely should not happen. It would further separate ourselves from the reality of the world, which is not good. The psychological impact of this we're seeing is terrible. It already was bad. We already have people staying inside way too often. And let's not forget that doing this by forcing people to stay home opens the door for socialistic tendencies from those in power saying, well, they can't work. They can't work because you made it so they couldn't work. Now we need to help them. Okay, how do we help them? We send them stimulus checks. We send them aid. We pass $1 trillion recovery bills. Why? What for? Let them go to work. We wouldn't need to. And then I would make it very plain too. I would be very careful about how I'm very plain about how I present this and how the media, I would keep a close eye on how the media retells my story and my statement. I want it very, very clear. I want to be very transparent. I don't want them fear-mongering in my town, in my city. I don't want them twisting my words. I don't want them twisting the facts. I don't want them spreading, splashing giant headlines, infant dead, 2 years old, corona. They do that to get attention. They do that because the one in a trillion chance of the infant dying or a two-year-old dying, it's not one in a trillion, but it's very low, and freaking people out and basically focusing on the bad and not on the good. Everybody saw the headlines that were plastered all over the place of the giant, the Navy ship, right, that came into New York to help. Did anybody see any giant headlines that said there's nobody on the damn ship, that it's empty, that it had to leave? No, of course not. They made a big stink in my state about nurses being dragged out of retirement because they had to go back to deal with this, right? I saw headlines everywhere. It was in every paper I saw. It was on every damn local channel. Guess what? A few weeks later, they were all sent home. We didn't need them. You didn't see that anywhere, though. The story didn't go anywhere. This is not the kind of reporting and factual representation that I want in my town and city, and I'd be calling them out every step of the way. And to fight it, if they won't do it, then I would be doing more and more and more public statements and press conferences to counter this, and again, being as transparent as possible, saying, look, don't you be swayed by this. Don't be pinned down by fear that they are spreading, because it is not rational. It is not based on the facts. Here are the facts. Here is what we are doing. We are going to remain in operation because of this. We are not going to be cowed into fear and suspicion and petrification. That is not going to happen. How? Why? With a mortality rate of 2% among people under the age of 65, why? This makes no sense. None. You issue the guidelines. You say what's happening. You tell them to be careful. These lockdowns tell me that the leaders have no faith, none, in their own people. They believe that nobody is going to follow their suggestions unless they're orders, unless they're law. They believe that no one's going to listen to a word they say unless they force them to. That's what this tells me. That means you are not a good leader. That means you are not doing the right things. That means that people suspect that anything out of your mouth is not worth listening to or should be pushed back on. I would not want to be that kind of politician. Now, I understand there's going to be plenty of people who never trust anybody elected in office, despite the fact that we put them there with votes. Yes, I know there's voter fraud. I get it. But I don't want to be the kind of person who says, just do what I say because I'm in charge. That's a monarchy. That's authoritarianism. We put that away back in the medieval ages in Europe. Didn't work there. Wouldn't work now. You don't do that. You don't do inherited power. You don't do it like in North Korea, which is basically a family regime. It just keeps getting passed down, and they're all nuts. The czars in Russia. We can't do that. I don't want to do that. I want the support, not necessarily the blind love of my followers or the people there. I would just at least want their respect, and I would pay that respect back by saying, I think that you're going to do the right thing if I give you the guidelines. This is what they are. Don't you think that this warrants some action? I am not going to shut things down. Other people might. I'm not. You all go to work. You do what you got to do every day. Businesses will take the necessary precautions. We can do all kinds of things. I'm not passing an edict. That is not going to happen. You will do what you, this is what's going to happen. If you tell people that this is getting the elderly, trust me, I guarantee people who have parents and grandparents, people who are elderly, I guarantee you they're going to listen. I guarantee that if they're feeling a little ill all of a sudden, they're not going to go to the nursing home. That they're not going to go out as much. You tell them this and you make it plain and you put it everywhere and you make sure they see it. There's no way they're going to just say, to hell with you. They only say to hell with you when you start telling them what to do. That's not how this works. That is not how a republic works. It's not how it should work. It's not how it would work if I was in control. And I use the word control in a very loose sense. I don't really want to be in control. I just want to lead the people in the right direction if I can. And again, that's why I would want all the information out in front of me. Now, once these are all in place, once the guidelines are in place, we keep a close eye on it. I want to know the numbers. Are they staying relatively the same? Has the mortality rate changed? What's the incubation rate like? Has that changed? Are there mutations that we need to know about? And what are they doing? Are those starting to spike in certain areas? I want all of this. I want everybody to be working very hard on this. I want my whole staff on this. I want to know through 24/7. If something happens, if there's a spike, if suddenly we see a little cluster where over here, where not only everybody got it, but suddenly a much higher percentage are dying, wake me up. I don't care if it's 3 a.m. Tell me. We need to know. Then we will take additional steps. Now, I suppose what can happen, that could happen, and then the whole place comes back on me for saying I didn't do enough and that I didn't make enough, wasn't strong enough. I didn't make strict enough changes. But for the sake of the stability of the nation and the area that I'm in, I would have to take that risk because it's not worth the risk of losing basically the entire economy, having us drop into a massive depression, which will cost us countless lives, countless. And the stability of the entire area being shaken for years, if not a decade, because I overreacted. The cost of overreaction, in my estimation, would be far greater than the cost of underreaction when we have something that is not a killer. This is not a killer. This is a bad virus that can kill the people who are not really in the best of condition. Yes, a killer, in my eyes, is people who take anybody out. That's a virus who goes after anybody and can get anybody and can take anybody. And if our healthy and productive are down and they're the ones who are taken out by this, yeah, we got a big problem. Then we have to talk about major lockdowns of everything just to survive. Survival is not an issue. The survival of the economy is an issue now. The survival of our sanity is an issue now. That's what takes center stage for me. And I want to hear the feedback. I want to hear what's happening. I want to know from the citizens. I want you to tell me, stop me in the street. Say, hey, look, you know, I don't think this is working. There's a lot of people around me who are suddenly very sick. I heard that a lot of people are dying. I mean, I want to know. If that's what's happening and I'm not knowing about it and my staff isn't doing their jobs, again, I want to know. I would want to be as transparent and communicative. I think that's a word. See, this is why I shouldn't be a leader. But I want to be as transparent as possible. I want to have all this information. I want to know it so I can give it to you and say, look, this is what we're doing based on this. I don't know why that's so difficult. And I would keep a close eye on the newspapers and the reporting in my area and say, I want you to make sure that you are reporting my words as I say them. I don't want you twisting them. I don't want you spreading fear. I don't want you doing this. Because that is going to fly in the face of everything that we are trying to do in terms of maintaining our stability and our sanity. Now, maybe that's not enough. Again, I don't know a lot. I'm not a doctor. I don't know much about political science. I hated political science. I took one course. I got like a B in it and I got the hell out in college. I don't know. It's not my thing. But this is just me taking a look at it from a 1,000-foot view and saying this is what I would do. There's other things I would do. I don't want to run on too long here. But that's the basics. That's the gist. I don't understand what the problem is. I don't get what's wrong with any of this. I'm basing this on the numbers that are accurate from what I can tell of what we have. So what's the problem? What? I thought I'd give it a try. I thought I'd tell you what I think. Let me know if you believe I'm right, wrong, what else I should do, that kind of thing. And again, I always appreciate you listening. Hopefully we're going to get past all this and we can talk about something else and people will actually listen. One of the reasons why I don't do it is because really, honestly, I think I did it once. No one really listened to the podcast at all. I think you have to stick with this until we get through this, and that's what I'm doing. But anyway, thank you very much for your attention. Please subscribe. It's free. I do just one short show a week, 20, 23 minutes or so. No ads, no explicit content. I don't bombard your email with promotion or anything like that. It's just me. Share with your friends, and again, always appreciated. And that's it for now, and I'll see you again next week. Thank you.